First, we want to dedicate the class to Miriam Leah, Bat Yosef HaKohen. Today is her Yahrzeit. Bezrat Hashem, with the merit of our class learning Torah, her neshama should have an aliyah, have nachat from her kids down here and grandkids. Bezrat Hashem. Yakitzu ve'iranenu shochnei afar. The ones who are dwelling in the ground, so to say, should rise at the time of Mashiach, when Mashiach is coming. And also for David, David, what's your grandfather's name? Michael? So we'll dedicate for Michael ben Avraham, passed away yesterday. Should do a U-turn right away. Mashiach should come today. That way he doesn't have to go anywhere. Come right back. Tov. We are in Parashat Bo. We started going through all the plagues last week. We went through 7. This week, we're going to another 3 plagues. And the parasha is starting with the word bo, mean come, which doesn't make much sense. It would be more making sense to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, lech, go. Why dafka specifically bo? Moshe got a little bit, I wouldn't say afraid, but after 7 plagues, seeing that nothing is moving Paro, he got a little bit worried. What's going on with this guy? 7 plagues and the destruction of Mitzrayim, that last week we read, already the last plague of last week, the sorcerers, the Paro's advisors are already telling him, no, didn't you figure it out that already Mitzrayim is lost? Just letting him go already. So, obviously Moshe Rabbeinu had a lot of bitachon, but he was like, hey, what's going on now? 7 plagues and nothing's moving here. So, obviously Hashem had to tell him, bo, come with me. I'll show you how I take care of business. But we want to see what the Noam Elimelech has to say. So we're in the first ma'amar of the Noam Elimelech, where it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, where Hashem says to Moshe, bo el paro, come to paro. Zohar explains, הדקדוק מפורש בזוהר הקדוש, לך אל פרו היה לו לומר. Zohar says, why are you saying bo? Should have said lech. Go to him. ועוד מה זה נתינת טעם? כי אני הכבדתי את ליבו. Now look how weird is what it's saying. Let's go to Paro because I've hardened his heart. It would make more sense to say, go to Paro and I will soften his heart. So you're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, bo el Paro, come to Paro, as I have hardened his heart. Doesn't make much sense. What is the meaning for that? Adrabah, מאחר שהכביד את ליבו, למה לא ללך? After you have hardened his heart, why should he go? At least say, I have softened his heart, go now. But you're telling him, I have hardened his heart, now go. Doesn't make much sense. Alo bevadai lo yishma lo. But it's obvious that he's not going to listen to him. He didn't listen to him now for 7 plagues. Why would he listen to the 8th plague? Venira lefaresh. It seems to me that I can explain it in this way. Dehin nebirot atzadik niflaot abore. When the tzaddik sees the wonder and the great miracles that the Creator does, or kshishma michavero hatzaddik dvarim kedushim, or when you hear from his friend holy things, I'm just going to repeat it again, just because we always have new faces. When the Noam Elimelech says a tzaddik, he's referring to us. He's not talking about the tzaddik I met. He's referring to us. So I'll explain it again. When I see with my own eyes the wonder of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the greatness, and I actually see with my own eyes, or I hear from my friend holy things, that my friend tells me the miracle that Hashem did to him, azay umitlev ba'avodat ha'borei itbarach ve'itale, then it inspires you. When you see an unbelievable miracle and you pray to Hashem, or you talk to Hashem from the bottom of the heart, and suddenly Hashem comes to the rescue, you're like, wow, look at that. It worked. And sometimes you see Hashem miracles and you can't believe it. You see it with your own eyes and like, I cannot believe what just happened here. And sometimes you also go to a lecture and you get inspired. A person comes and tells you, you can't believe what happened to me. I was here and Hashem made me be here. And what does it do? It makes you inspired. It makes you have excitement to serve Hashem. Ma she'enken. But on the other hand, harasha, a wicked person, av k'sheroe niflaot o she'atzadik medaber elav, even that he sees something great, or even when a person comes and gives him an inspirational talk, azay hu chozer lefisha, aval lo mitkayem bekirbo. He might get a little bit excited where he hears it, goes back to his where he came from, and like as if nothing changed. Not only that, eno mitkayem bekirbo ezez man, doesn't even help. Even if he gets inspired for a minute, a two, an hour, you know, all the air comes out. Kekelev shavel kio, like a dog. Some dogs, unfortunately, if they're not fed enough or if they're hungry, they will throw up. I know it sounds disgusting, but they will throw up and eat their throw up. Like, is it the vomit? Yes. Excuse me? Some dogs, yeah. Some dog will just eat the vomit of another dog or something else just because, whatever it is. But anyways, we don't need to discuss you. I know you just had breakfast. Or still having it. But nevertheless, the same idea is giving this parable, like a dog that throws up and eats it. Like this is, he's comparing it to a wicked person that will, you know, go return to the, its own something that is disgusting. אבל שהצדיק מדבר עליו יום יום או בראותו נפלאות הבורא יום אחר יום, יכול להיות מתקיים בו זמן רב. But when you are very persistent and you go to a person that is considered wicked, now the wicked, the biblical definition of wicked is not only a person like Paro. According to the Torah, if I do a sin now, right now my status in Shamayim is Rasha. If I will now steal, cheat, lie, Lashon Hara, whatever it is, that given moment, my status hovering over my head is called Rasha. Do tshuva, and then right away it will change. So, unfortunately, many people, they're very nice people, and they're polite, and they have a good sense of humor, and maybe they'll be charitable here and there, but they're not doing mitzvot. And worse than that, they're doing sins. Their status in Shamayim is a Rasha. That's the status. It can be a very nice person with a good heart, but that given moment, he stole, or he lied, or he, you know, didn't put tefillin on. He didn't say Birkat HaMazon, whatever it is. The status in Shamayim is called wicked. So the Nerim Rasha is not necessarily a Haman or a Paro, rather a person that for that moment is not fulfilling the mitzvot. Nevertheless, we are surrounded with many people who are in that level. And they're not interested in doing a mitzvah. Or they don't see the greatness of Hashem. But what does he say? When you persistently go every day and you like a machine drilling in their mind, you know what? At some point, what happens, it will stick. Because you come the first time, you maybe get them excited for an hour, and then the excitement wears off. And you get talk to them again, we'll get excited one time, it will wear off. But when you do it over and over and over, then even the person who's considered wicked will get inspired. And this is what it means, Bo'el Paro Bikviut, Yom Achar Yom. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, continue, go every day. Every day go to Paro, knock on his door. Yeah, I've hardened his heart because I don't want him to have this chut. But you should not give up. You should go every day and knock on his door and make sure that you show him the miracles that I will tell you to do. But not only that you just should go, lo bedech arai, don't just by chance happen to be that you pass there and say, hey, I happen to be in the neighborhood and here I have a miracle to show you. but rather go in a system, in a systematic way. That's why Hashem said, I have hardened his heart. You know, the plagues were done to break the klipa. The plagues were also done to prove to Mitzrayim, Ki ani Hashem, I am Hashem. But the plague was also done to the Jews, to Bnei Israel, and to Moshe, and for us to see, to learn something from that. And Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to be persistent. Don't give up so easily. Leman shiti ototai, then the verse says, first of all, the verse says, come to Paro. The verse continues, I have hardened his heart, which doesn't make much sense, but we're starting to clear it up now. Now it says, Leman shiti ototai. I have hardened his heart. Why? So I can give more plagues, that I can show more miracles. He wants to say by that, otiyotai hakdoshim. I want you to take now my holy letters. Ototai is my plagues, my supernatural acts, my signs that I'm going to do. But read the words a little bit different and change the vowels. You can read it, otiyotai, my letters. And which letters? Hakdoshim. I want you to speak to him day after day with my holy letters. Asim bekirbo. Every day I want you to come and talk, because Moshe Rabbeinu used to talk Lashon Kodesh. He didn't talk the language that Paro used to speak, that Aaron used to do. Moshe would walk in, and the exact same way he heard it from Hashem, that's how he spoke it. And obviously nobody understood what he's saying. But I can assure you it sounded very scary. And probably spoke with a heavy Israeli accent and with an Israeli tone. And Aaron then came to translate. But nevertheless, Hashem says, I want you to go and speak my holy language so he can hear it. Davka lomar sheitkaimu bekirbo zman rav. Then why? Because the Hebrew, the Lashon Kodesh letters will penetrate very, very deep. And not only that, they will sustain there for a long time. Velochen kshishmai lecha bapam arishon yachzor lesuro. Not like the first time that he right away, he listened to you and then he moved on. Velaze lo ne'emar moftai leramez bemilat ototai. That's why he didn't say mofet. Mofet is like a supernatural act. Rather, otot is like a sign, like a big miracle. That's why specifically in Hebrew he didn't use the word mofet, rather the word ot. לרמז במילת אוטוטאי, to hint in the word אוטוטאי, in my signs, שני משמעות. There are two meanings here. One of them is אוטוט כפשוטו, one of them is the actual act, the miracle, and the other one is coming from the word אותיות. אותיות is letters, as it's mentioned. ולמען תספר באוזני בנך, because the verse continues and says, I want you to tell your son, and your son will tell his son and every generation what I did. So that was part of the idea of the miracles, that I have to tell my son what happened in Mitzrayim. That's what we're going to do soon in Leil Seder. The whole Leil Seder, by the way, is for the kids, not for me. So I have to tell it to my kids, so they will tell it to the kids. There is a question, how do we know really that Mitzrayim, that Yetziat Mitzrayim really happened? Let's say somebody comes and tells you, I don't believe what it says in the book. So the answer is because my father told me, and his father told him, and his father told him, that's the mitzvah that we were commanded. We were commanded to give it over to my kids. This is my commandment. This is our legacy. That I saw my great-great-great-great-grandfather was there. He told it to his kid, and then it went through all the generations. This is what it means. Leman tesaper bozne vincha. I am doing all this so you can tell a miracle to your kid, to your son. Perush, meaning, dehine atzadik roe niflaot Hashem pa'am echad. The person sees at least once in his life a miracle from Hashem. Azay mitlev libo zman rav. And it sustains for years. Hashem did a miracle to you. You carry it with you now for years. And it still is in your memory, in your heart. People sometimes on me personally, they tell me, when did you had your near-death experience? 17 years ago. And you remember the details? Remember. How would you forget? How can you forget such a thing? Hashem does a miracle to you, you don't forget one detail. Doesn't matter if 70 years passed. So when Hashem does a miracle to you, you will remember it very well. And you know what? It will keep some type of an excitement for a very long time. When you see another miracle and another miracle that Hashem does to you, then you grow and grow and you come to a much higher level. In order to mention and to say that for generations. I think this class was custom made for you, Israel, for what you asked me. I mean, this is exactly the answer you needed to hear. You heard it before, now you're hearing it from the book. But everybody, what? Yeah, I mean, this is custom made, not only, you know, it's also for you and also for every person that I tell them, Hashem made a miracle to you and took you out from where you came from, that has to be publicized. This is not to keep it for yourself. Hashem does a miracle for you, A, for the sake of the miracle, B, to get you where you're supposed to be. But more than that, to go now to the world and say, hey, world, you know what happened to me? You have to hear what Hashem did for me. So, when there's a miracle, over a miracle, over a miracle, it's for you to take it and to tell it to your kids, to your grandkids, to your great-grandkids, and to spread out the word. You have to say his miracles and how great Hashem is for generations. That's why Hashem specifically made it that Paro didn't listen the first time. Because it makes it much greater that it was time after time after time. And after 10 times he didn't hear, you still went back and you still married to see Yetziat Mitzrayim. And all this, why? Uleman tesaper levincha. You can tell it to your son. Shetavo lemadarga nosefet lesaper bozne bitcha ledorot. That you will reach to a level, to a madriga, that you not only tell it to your son, you tell it to generations and generations. And generations is not only referring to specifically in a decade from now, 50 years. Generations is like a ripple effect, that you throw a stone in the water and the ripple effect starts spreading. So you tell it to people and then you spread it and you use all the means that I mentioned before. You today, Baruch Hashem, we have the internet, you have social media, it is easy to publish a book, whatever it is. The point is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle in your life is for you to share it. So we understand that Paro was specifically manipulated by the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but here the lesson is for Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu has a few lessons here. First of all, you need to advertise the miracle. Hashem did a miracle to you. You have to share it. Doesn't matter in what way. And even if you think it won't affect even one person, you don't know. Sometimes Hashem does a miracle for you because there's one person that needs to hear what you have to say. And sometimes all the effort that you need to do is only to reach one person for him to be inspired. And that's exactly why Hashem does miracles to us. And today Hashem made it in such a way that really everybody has a story. Everybody now, if we put him now here in front of the microphone, can tell a story how they became where they are right now. And we're all coming from the same place. Some of us from a more deeper pit than the other. But the reality is that we all have a story. And the story needs to be told. And this is what we do on Leil Seder, Yetziat Mitzrayim. We say the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, of how I went out of my Egypt. So this in itself should be an inspiration that, yeah, Hashem did a miracle for you. It's not just to say, okay, you know, it happened 20 years ago. First of all, it's for you to relive the miracle over and over and to be appreciative and thankful to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Wow, where was I 40 years ago and where am I now? Or where was I 20 years ago or 5 years ago? And, you know, there are many people who still need to hear the miracle. And I have to be the one who's inspiring other people and use whatever way possible. More than that, we see here another interesting teaching that we can take from us. is that it's teaching us to be persistent in Avodat Hashem. It's very, Avodat Hashem, serving God is not easy. And there's a lot of challenges and a lot of ups and downs, and it's very easy to give up. And, you know, the most common thing is that you, when you start becoming observant, then you take off like a rocket in the beginning, a lot of excitement. I like comparing it to a plane taking off. So before the plane takes off, there's a lot of excitement because you're going on a vacation and you're sitting in the chair all excited and you have butterflies in your stomach. Then the plane is on the runway and you can't wait to take off. Finally, the plane starts taking off, accelerating, and driving faster and faster and faster. And that's exactly like the Baal Tshuva. And then finally it takes off and takes off. And for about 20 minutes, the plane is just taking off. And that's exactly like the Baal Tshuva. And then at some point, the plane reaches an altitude and it levels. And that's it, starts gliding. And the same the Baal Tshuva, it takes off in excitement, a lot of excitement, and then it starts taking off and growing and growing and growing and adding more mitzvot, and at some point it levels. The person reaches to a certain level, and then starts the challenges. Then it's very easy to have, you know, like turbulence. The challenges start throwing you off. So specifically, when I'm focusing on my service of God, my Avodat Hashem and my growth, it's not easy. So I have to learn from that. That's what Hashem was teaching Moshe Rabbeinu. Persistence. Well, continue. Don't give up. So what if Paro, if the Klipa is still fighting you? The Klipa is going to fight you for a very long time. You have to be very, you know, stubborn to go and fight. And it doesn't mean that you get everything right away. Sometimes we pray for Hashem. We pray. Nothing happens. So many times people come and tell me, I need help with this and that. I tell them, pray to Hashem. Oh, I already prayed. Yeah. Didn't work. Well, maybe you didn't pray enough. No, I prayed enough. Or maybe you needed another prayer. How do you know? Maybe you're required to give 50 prayers here. The fact is, first of all, we don't know if the prayer actually reached its where it's supposed to. Sometimes this is the irony here, that a lot of people, they pray, and they really pray. But the same mouth that prays is also talking Lashon Hara, and also swears, and also curses, and also lies, and also cheats. So I don't think the prayer will go much higher when the mouth, the tool that brings the prayer, is also damaging.
Could it be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying no?
That's also an option, that the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't think you need it right now, or it's not good for you to have it right now, and I am accepting the prayer, and I will keep it now in my bank of prayers, and right now you shouldn't have them. I also, my four-year-old daughter, she also prays all day long for me to give her a lollipop. Please. And she prays with all her might, and she puts all her cute faces, and I say, no, I don't want to give you the lollipop because it's full of sugar. And it has a lot of chemicals in it and food coloring, and it's going to be disgusting. And you know what? You're going to have cavities, and then I'm going to have to pay a lot of money to the dentist. And I don't want you to be in pain, and I don't want you to suffer, and I don't want you to have a stomach ache and sticky hands. And so I tell her no. So in her eyes, I'm the worst father. So, but I'm doing it for her benefit.
Is it safe to say that no prayer goes unanswered?
Yes. Because even if the prayer, you didn't get what you asked for, Hashem will take that merit of the prayer and will apply it to something else or to the person that actually needs it. Hashem, don't worry, Hashem gets everything. I can tell you already that if a person prays, but the same mouth that prays will be busy in cursing and slandering and talking Lashon Hara, and cheating, and all these interesting things that our mouth develops, don't think the prayer will go so higher. I mean, we have to be practical. We can't be naive here. You can't curse, and with the same mouth that says all sorts of false language, then say, Hashem, you're amazing. It's kind of hypocritical. So we have to be very careful with you want your prayers to be answered. The mouth also has to be clean. You know, you can't stand now here for a whole hour and pray Shacharit and then a minute later start talking about this guy, slandering that guy, cheating here. I mean, this just contradicts it. But nevertheless, Hashem listens to the prayers. We just have to understand that sometimes you have to knock on the door a long time before it happens. And here Hashem is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu what they teach you when you come off the plane, when you come to Israel, what they tell you first thing? Lat, 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 sablanut, patience. Nothing works here fast in this Medina. Lat, lat, sit in line, sit, wait, it will happen. So, Mezad Hashem, we should take from that, first of all, to have patience. We should have persistence and being stubborn in Avodat Hashem. But more than that, each and every one of us has to understand that we have a story how we came, where we came, and that story needs to be heard. I know it might sound as a bit too big, you know, bigger than what you think you can handle, but no, if Hashem did a miracle for you, there is at least one soul out there in the world that needs to hear what you went through, how you were able to do it, so you will be able to pull them from where they are. And it's very interesting that this is what the first mamar is, because this is exactly what Israel asked me before we started the class. So yeah, I'm glad that I got a chazakah by telling you this. And you know, it's each and every, and I made a joke before we started the class that everybody has to have a YouTube channel. So, you know, they say joking, but obviously we have to take the miracle that Hashem did to us. And even if you don't become a superstar, but you have to share it. And you have to tell somebody, you know, I was once here, and now I'm here. But the most you need to tell it to is to yourself. Is to look in the mirror, and then to hold a picture from 40 years ago and say, wow, look where I was 40 years ago. Wow. And look where I am now. I'm sitting here and learning Torah. I pray shacharit for a whole hour. I eat kosher. I say blessings, I observe Shabbat, look how I'm dressed. Where was I once? And you know what? You need to now sometimes pat on your back and say, unbelievable the change. 20 years ago I was a crook. 20 years ago I was a cheat, a liar, a thief, whatever it is. And now look at me. I'm sitting in the house of Hashem and look how much I grew. So we have to take all that in the right way, and to learn from the Torah. Torah comes and teach me. Mezrat Hashem, we should all grow, we should all see miracles in our life. I wish again to Dale to have a year of health and success and happiness on the day of his birthday. Many more happy returns, and just a year of happiness and success and revealed miracles, and to see that the miracles happen. Sometimes you just need to open their eyes and to see the miracle here. Miracles happen to us every day. And when we appreciate the miracle, even though sometimes it seems it's coming like in a way of a paro, very stubborn, the klipa doesn't want to break, but you know, you're persistent. It might take a year, take half a year, 3 years, but at some point we do break the klipa. Mezrat Hashem, should the merit to have our Redeemer break the ultimate klipa, see the coming of Mashiach very soon.